We welcome you to worship on this, the holiest of nights, when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Will you stand, please, and join in reading the call to worship? Christ is born.
And hope and joy and peace are born.
God is born in a person. No wonder the angels sing.
Let us celebrate the birth of our Lord.
Hymn number 160, How Glad I Am Each Christmas Eve. How glad I am each Christmas Eve, the night of Jesus' birth. Then like the sun, the stars shone forth, and angels sang on earth. The little child in Bethlehem, he was a king indeed. He came from his high state in heaven, down to a world in need. He dwells again in heaven's realm, the Son of God today. But he knows all the little ones and hears them when they pray. How glad I am each Christmas Eve, his praises then I sing. He opens then for every child the palace of the King. Let's pray together. Come, child of Bethlehem, make your presence known to us and dwell in our midst as we worship. Come, servant King, teach us the ways of your kingdom, and make our hearts your throne. Come, brother of all, show us the meaning of our humanity. Go before us and lead us to God. Bring us to the fullness of your kingdom. You may be seated.
Luke 2, 17 through 20 says, after seeing him, Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen. It was just as the angels had told them.
The fifth Advent candle is the Christ candle. This is Christ's birthday. As we celebrate it with him and with his people everywhere, we hope that we may share in bringing his light into the lives of those around us. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus. Help us, like Mary, to think deeply about what his coming means for us, and like the shepherds, to sing praises because he has come into our world. Help us to spread love, light, and joy in the world by the way we live and by the things we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
In number 183, I think of that star of long ago. 193, I'm sorry. I think of that star of long ago that lighted the earth as below. In faith I look up, and o'er me I see that star in its beauty still shining for me. Oh, star that once shone over Bethlehem, living in its mortal joy proclaim, the Lord to adore, hasten with thee, O star in thy beauty still shining for me. A child unto us is for no joy to sin blighted earth comes a hands on boy. Now over my path that dear memory, a star in its beauty still shining for me. O star that once shone over Bethlehem, mortals great joy proclaim, the Lord to adore, I hasten with thee, O star in thy beauty still shining for me. It sheds on the world a peaceful ray and greets every mortal with heavenly grace. To Bethlehem, babe, I hasten with thee, O star in thy beauty still shining for me. O star that once shone over Bethlehem, thy beams yet to mortal great joy proclaim. The Lord to adore, I hasten with thee, O star in thy beauty still shining for me. The scripture readings for this, the Christmas Eve, Isaiah 9, 2 to 7. In this passage, the prophet proclaims, foretells the birth of the Savior. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Our New Testament lesson is found in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 to 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whose favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in a manger. Hymn number 171, "What Child Is This Who's Laid to Rest?"
What child is this who laid to rest? Mary's lap is sleeping. Angels creep in fantasy. Shepherds are weeping. This is Christ the King. Shepherds guard and angels sing. Son of Mary. In his evening, on the backs leading, good Christian fear sinners hear, silent word is pleading. Nails dear and chase him through the cross in me for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him.
At this time, we'll call on Mike Hannay to bring us the Christmas Eve message.
I greet you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, whom we call Jesus, and I greet you, Shalom, peace, blessing, prosperity, health, as we sit in the dawn of the birth of Jesus and a new year. It seems like everybody today wants to be special. We're watching the football game, of course, this afternoon in between, and I was impressed. We even know the letters of the names of football players, the CJs and the JJs and the DJs and the CDs. All these special people. We know the names and talents of great singers, great musicians, politicians. Notice I didn't say great, necessarily. We know the names of great actors, and on and on and on. It seems like everybody wants to be special. But here we are, just regular people, just ordinary people. When my daughter called, she said, "What have you been doing?" I said, "Work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep," just like normal people, just regular, average, unknown people to the world. But there's people in the world who want to be so important that we even have what are called now influencers. And they go on social media with no credentials except their opinion. Well, I've got an opinion, but I don't go on social media. I refuse to go on social media, partly because I'm too old to understand it, and partly because if I got on it, I'd only probably stick my foot in my mouth. So here we are tonight, celebrating this King, this Jesus. And here we are, nobody special, just the unknowns, in the midst of a world of 8 billion people. And I want to add, there are unknowns gathered all over the world, today and tomorrow. Days we don't even know about, just like us. People who are unknown and want to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, I'm going to go back to some of the characters we talked about this morning. So let's start with Zacharias, an unknown. He just got the duty of being the high priest or going into for the sacrifice just by casting lots. Nobody special until God met him through one of his messengers and gave him the message, you're going to have a son, and that son is going to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. He left there. Nobody even knew because he couldn't talk. I'm sure he was trying to signal them, but he couldn't talk, so he couldn't even tell the story. And then John was born, and we hear nothing about him until he went into ministry. And of course, we know Joseph, an unknown. Where did he come from? What happened to him? We know his name. We know that he was the father of Jesus, at least earthly father. Came on the scene, walked off the stage. And then Mary, an unknown teenager in the midst of a country named Israel or Judah, actually. Nobody knew about her. Nobody knew she was going to get a visit from Gabriel. I want to come back to Mary in a minute. But then we have some other players. One that amuses me is an emperor named Gaius Julius Caesar Octavius, or Caesar Augustus, or also known as Octavius, whom we read about this morning. It amuses me a little bit that here we have the Israelites, and they go by a first name. We don't even get a middle name or a last name. It's just Mary. It's just Joseph. And here the emperor's got to have like 8 names because he's important. I think it's amusing, however, in addition, that it is his decree that sent those two to Bethlehem to fulfill a prophecy made hundreds of years before, and he didn't have a clue. Unknown to him, he was a participant in the evolution of the greatest event in world history. Unknown, related to that, is a little town called Bethlehem. Nobody even paid any attention to it until, of course, the Magi came to the king Herod and said, where is the Messiah to be born? And Herod scrambled and got all the religious leaders. Where is the Messiah to be born? Bethlehem. You notice the religious leaders didn't take the trek down to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a nothing to them. And then the unknown, another unknown, a trip to Egypt. Unplanned, unscheduled. You know, when we go someplace, we get out the GPS, the map, we call ahead for motel reservation. No, this trip wasn't like that. This trip was a call from God to Joseph and said, get out of here, your life is in danger. Packed up Mary, packed up the little baby, maybe they had a donkey, and scurried off to Egypt. And then, of course, the shepherds. We don't even know their names. We don't even know how many there were. We don't even know what happened to them afterward. Unknowns, regular, ordinary people minding their own business. And then, of course, the unknowns, the Magi. We don't even know what country they came from. We don't even know what their background was, what their ethnicity was. And they came, totally shocked King Herod, came out of the blue. Where'd you guys come from? What are you doing? More unknowns. And the star. I'm going to read you this verse. As I mentioned this morning, the star was an unknown except to the Magi. One tiny little verse in the book of Numbers. And a star will come from Jacob. One tiny verse, unknown, but that star led to the baby, Jesus. And then, of course, the unknown, the biggest, greatest unknown of the whole story is this little tiny baby. This little baby. Nobody paid attention to, except they probably did what we normally do with babies. They held them and cuckoo, and, you know, that's what we do with babies. But nobody special. And I'm going to circle back to Mary, except to Mary, and probably Joseph. Do you ever think of why we have the record in this book? Of all the events we talked about this morning, all of the events that are recorded, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, where did we get all of those early events, the history of what happened? I can tell you who. Mary. She remembered it all. And at some point in time, she told the story. I don't know when that was. But she told the story to Matthew. She told the story to someone else, perhaps the physician Luke himself. And so we have this incredible miracle recorded. As I mentioned, the priests didn't go to visit Jesus. The prophets of that time didn't go to visit Jesus, Mary, Joseph. The Levites, whose job was to keep this book, didn't go to visit Jesus. The scribes who wrote the words of the scrolls to be carried on, they didn't go to visit Jesus. Who visited Jesus? Just normal, regular, ordinary people like you and me. I want you tonight to feel comfortable with being an ordinary, regular, unknown person, at least unknown in the greater world. We know each other, but we're not famous. I don't think we have anybody here running for U.S. Congress. I don't see anybody. I don't think we have anybody here who's got that $270 million NFL contract or basketball contract or movie star contract. I have no idea what they get paid. No, we're just regular people. Work, eat, sleep. So I want to pause for a minute and I want you to think. Zacharias, his whole life, one shining moment. Joseph, his whole life, one shining moment. Mary, she got more than one moment. She got to be with Jesus for 33 years. An emperor, unknown to him. He probably is not going to like I say that. Like that I say this, one shining moment, probably only one. Bethlehem, one shining moment. A star, literally one shining moment, and on and on. I want you to welcome you as an unknown. I want you to think differently tonight about life. As we follow Jesus on this path, which I think we would all admit is interesting, sometimes challenging. We often wonder, what is God up to? And we look back at our lives and we see, well, there was one moment. Maybe there were two moments. Maybe somewhere along the path you got the privilege and opportunity to pray with someone to accept Jesus. Maybe somewhere along the path you had a child like Mary and Joseph who turned out to bless your heart. Maybe somewhere along the path you don't even know what happened that God took care of and made something beautiful out of. There are 316 Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the Nativity, the birth of Jesus. I'm a little amused because the priests, the prophets, the Levites, the scribes, with all of that, couldn't even figure it out. In fact, if you go back to the book of Daniel in chapter 9, the prophecy given to Daniel even gives the time frame when the Messiah would come. And you can go back and do the math, gymnastics. Great scholars have done it because there was a different reckoning for Persia at the time the prophecy was given, and the Jews had a different time calendar and so forth. The best that I've come up with is using those numbers out of Daniel chapter 9, the Messiah arrived on the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem mounted on a donkey. But even if it wasn't that day, you'd think these scholars would have at least figured a time frame, right? Jesus was unknown even to them. So why the unknowns? Why do we go through life not even knowing sometimes that God has used us? Just following Jesus. Day after day, like work, eat, sleep. Why don't we know what's going on? Well, I think there's two answers to that. The first one is, if we knew how God was using us, we'd probably have the risk of getting a big head. Whoa, should have seen what God did with me last week. Boy, I can't wait till next Sunday when I can give my testimony. Whew, this has been a wild week. That would be one. And it's a good thing because that keeps us from getting proud, right? And we just stay normal, average people, just following Jesus. When I do my prayer time every night, I do this. My commitment again today is to be on the path, a sheep following my shepherd. I look down that path, I cannot see anything. It's like driving in the fog in Duluth. I have no idea where we're going, but I do know the shepherd. And all I need to do is just trek behind him. He'll take care of everything else. The second hint, and I think it is a really, really, really important clue that Jesus gives us in Matthew 24. Read two verses. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Yes, this is referring to the second coming. But here's the nutshell. Here's the key. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. I think one of the reasons God works the way that he does is he's got a plan, and his plan is victory. And to execute that plan, he's got to do some things that the enemy can't get any wind of. In your life and in my life, I know if you're following Jesus, you've got rewards in heaven, guaranteed. You know how I can guarantee it? Because Jesus is the one who does it. And sitting here today, you may have no clue of what's been going on. And so in Romans chapter 8, famous verses, Paul tells us this. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's another way of saying we haven't got a clue, but the Spirit does. He's got this. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And here's the famous verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Now, I want to clarify something from that verse. It does not say that God causes everything. God is not the cause of illness or disease, and on and on. What it does say, that all the things that have happened in Mike's life, all the things that have happened in your life, God is working to rearrange those pieces to come out for what? Good. He's working hard. You may not see it. It may look like a bizarre path, but he's working hard to work everything together for good for you and me. So today we meet together, and like I said, all over the planet, Christians are meeting together to honor this God, our Father, as Jesus taught us, this Savior, Jesus. And as we pray together, I want us to pray with all of the rest of those regular, ordinary, unknown people, unknown to everyone, but God and Jesus, because he knows every one of us. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, your Son taught us to call you Father. We are your children, and we bow before you to honor you, the true God, the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Messiah Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pause to honor you because you are worthy of honor. Seated on the throne with your Father, you, together with your Spirit, are conquering the world. And we are a small part of it. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our path, and we know that when we get to heaven, you'll show us more than we know now. We trust you, and we want to have faith in you no matter what we see. And all over this world, we join our hearts with every believer, whatever country, whatever nationality. There are no boundaries, no male or female, no Gentile or Jew. We are one, honoring you on this special day. Give us your peace as we enter each day ahead that you give to us. Give us confidence that you know what you're doing. We're just following one step behind you. And we thank you through that name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Hallelujah, oh, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Hallelujah, oh, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king.
Normally on Christmas Eve, we take a special love offering for our pastor. But we can't do that this year because we don't have a pastor. Hopefully next Christmas we will have one. And so the church council had to decide where are we going to direct tonight's offering. And we decided that an appropriate place would be the Quad City Food Shelf, because there are people in our community who are hungry. And so we would ask you to give generously to the food shell. The ushers will wait on us for the offering, and we'll ask them to come forward at this time. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, you are always bountiful in your dealings with us. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Make us as generous in our giving as our Master, who taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. As you came to the service this evening, you received a candle. The ushers are going to come down the aisle and light the candle of the first person nearest the aisle. And we would ask you to pass your light down to the other end of the row, and we're going to sing together Silent Night. Will you stand, please?
Glory stream from heaven afar.
is born. Christ our Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
We wish you all a most blessed Christmas. Please go in peace.